Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the letter to the Philippians written by the Apostle Paul in chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Great passage to read as any time, but especially now as we begin this new year, and happy new year to all of you. And Paul says this, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Well, that passage, as I said, was written by the Apostle Paul, and it comes a few verses after he had just spoken about the high privilege of knowing and gaining a relationship with Christ, the most important relationship he could have. So important was that relationship to Paul that in all things the world said were important, he realized that they were just rubbish, garbage, worthless. Or as the Message translation says it when he says, "Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master, firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant, dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him." You know, we know a good bit about the Apostle Paul. We've talked about him before. We know that he was a Jew. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling religious class. And before he came into a personal relationship with Christ, he made it his life's mission to seek out, persecute, jail, destroy, and kill those who were followers of Christ. We know that through a blinding light encounter with God on the Damascus Road, Paul was led into a personal relationship with Christ and thereafter became the most ardent spokesman for Christianity, and his life's testimony continues to have an incredible impact for Christ today. We're reading from one of the passages that he was inspired to write in Philippians and one of 13 of the letters in the New Testament that he wrote. Paul lived a lot of life, both before his relationship with Christ and then after that blinding light moment that changed his life forever. Before his relationship with Christ, his impact was one of fear and death. His life was lived out on Paul's terms. After that Damascus Road moment, his impact in the world was for Christ, and as a result, was one of hope and love and life. His life was lived out on Christ's terms. Was it an easy life for him, living for Christ? No, it wasn't. Listen to one of Paul's accounts as recorded in 2 Corinthians at chapter 11 in the New Testament. Paul says, "I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, from bandits, from my fellow Jews, and from Gentiles. I have gone without sleep and have often gone without food, and I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches." In the midst of all of that, through moments of doubt and fear and troubles and failures, you know he experienced, he always pressed through them for fellow believers and never stopped working with and for Christ. How did he do that? What was the secret which allowed him to do that in the midst of the difficulties and the dangers that he faced? Well, here it is, what we read a moment ago. "But one thing I do," he says, "forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." There it is. Forgetting what has gone before, Paul says, "I strain forward to what lies ahead and press on toward the goal of becoming more like Christ." Paul's writings often use the images of a runner, a long-distance runner. And in this passage, it's the image of a runner not looking back, but straining forward and pressing on to the finish line. Olympic track and field athlete Peter Snell of New Zealand lived in Dallas, where he was an associate professor at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in the Department of Internal Medicine, where he also served as the director of human performance in that center there. He won gold medals in the 800-meter events in the 1960 Rome Olympics and the 1964 Tokyo Olympics, where he also won the gold medal in the 1500-meter race. He's been known through the years for his intense focus. And while running in the 800 meters in the Rome Olympics, he was trailing Roger Mons of Belgium with 50 meters to go. In that brief closing stretch, Mons made the mistake of looking to his right to find Snell. And in that instant of distraction, he lost just enough of a step to allow Snell to pass him on the left and win the gold medal by 0.2 seconds. Look, in the daily grind of life, which we go through, it seems more often than not, we have a choice. Dwelling on the things, on the voices, on the distractions of the world, which Paul calls rubbish, garbage, dung, trash, insignificant, and worthless, or a choice to focus on and press on toward the things of Christ, the important things in life. It's a new year. Not a bad time to do it. A new year, and every day we have a choice to follow the voices of the world, the lure of things and trophies and achievements and accolades and image and all the unimportant distractions which seek to pull us off course, or we have the choice to follow the call of Christ on our lives. A life that presses on toward what is before us, fulfilling our God-appointed purpose, honoring Christ, sharing the hope for eternal life with others, and lifting others all around us. But there is something Paul says we must do first, before we are fully able to press on toward the call of Christ, and here it is. We must let go of what has gone before. To let go of the past. But one thing I do, he says, forgetting what lies behind. My friends, it's a new year. What better time to let go and to move on? No sweat, Paul. Great. That makes sense. Easy enough, right? Forgetting what's gone before. Got it, right? Well, no. Not really. Not me. And I suspect not many of you. We say the past is the past, and we need to let it go. But unfortunately, that's about the best we can do at times. Too much guilt, the memory of too much pain and heartache keeps bubbling up from before. We have a hard time forgetting past mistakes and a hard time accepting God's grace and forgiveness and moving on. How about Paul? Every time he walked around after that Damascus Road experience, he was walking probably in areas where there were widows and children of families of someone he killed, a Christian he killed. And yet he accepted God's grace and forgiveness, and he moved on, forgetting what was before. Instead, though, in our lives, living in or holding on to the past, we are held back from becoming all we were created to be. We stay locked up in the past, remembering what someone did to us or what we did to someone, and we can't move on, unable to forgive them or ourselves. We replay what we've done, where we've fallen short, or where we failed over and over again. We feel the guilt. We give up trying to change something that we know we need to change. And so, a year from now, we may find ourselves standing in the very same place. Living in the past tends to and ends up tying us down in the present and holds us back from moving on to be more like him and to be all that we were created to be. It keeps us from living fully today, the life we were created to live. Winston Churchill once said, "If the present quarrels with the past, there can be no future." And one of the real tragedies in that is seeing too many people reach the end of their journey in life, leaving a legacy marked by never having reached their full God-given potential and purpose in life. But today is a new day. The year is a new year. Let me say it again. It's a new year. Happy New Year. Maybe it's time now to live fully the life we were created to live. So how do we do it? How do we move on? Well, it's simple, my friends. Is it easy? Not always, but it's simple. We listen to one of the great voices for Christ about the life we were meant to live. Someone whose life wasn't perfect, but whose resolve and commitment to Christ was perfect. A life fully surrendered to Christ and his way. We follow the example of the Apostle Paul, who allowed his life to be bathed in the grace and the forgiveness of God. A sinner who had a great Savior, and with his Savior was able to move on past what was, past all that he did, and on into all that he was meant to be. That's our example, and that's our Savior, ready to walk with us to move on into all that he has created us to be. Brothers and sisters, Paul said, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There it is, for you and for me, for the rest of our lives, forgetting the past through the grace and the love of God and focusing on what is before us to become and fulfill all we were created to be, all through the hope and the power of Christ. We press on into all that is before us today and for all our tomorrows, on into eternity with him. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the reminder. Thank you for your Apostle Paul and his passion for you and that Damascus Road moment where you changed his life and reminded him what he reminds us of and tells us and calls us to forget all that is behind and strain forward to what is ahead, pressing on to be more like you, to be who you created us to be. Help us to do that. No, Lord, more than that, fill us with your power, peace, and strength to do that. We are going to do that. Don't help us. Just do it with us and through us. We trust you for that. We take that next step, and we're moving on with you today, Lord, not only to be all that you created us to be, but also to help others to also forget what is behind and strain forward to what is ahead and to press on toward all that they were created to be. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all that you call us to and all that you have in mind for us and all that you want for us to do and be with you. Thank you for your son. It's in his precious name we pray, having remembered the birth a few days ago, as we stand here in this new year that you've given us and all the opportunities before us, with you and for you. In your son's precious name again, we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.